And this morning we complete our series on the pivotal points in the Nicene Creed, which we just confessed. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. As 21st century Christians, we take these words for granted. That the Son of God became man was the scandal of the first 5 centuries of the Christian church. It was already brewing in the days of John the Evangelist when he warned believers, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist." But it continued through the councils, where one after another teacher tried to skirt the scriptural truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. He was made man. Homo factus est, or as the Latin says, was the rallying cry for the true Christian church. How could God become man? Perhaps it would be better to take the position of Mary than to try to apply all of our human wisdom, where Mary said, upon hearing that she as a virgin would conceive and bear the Son of God, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." All those who have been led astray have gone that way because they compared God's ability to human understanding. If we cannot let go of our own limited understanding and cling to philosophical rules, then we will miss out on the tremendous and amazing blessing in the truth that God became man. In the truth of this, there is astounding comfort. Because God became flesh, we have a high priest who is able to sympathize with us in our mortal weakness. The scriptures say we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Our God shares our flesh. He is not aloof from our bodily pains, but he shares it. He shares what it means to live as a human being in this world. Wherever you are assaulted by Satan, he has been there too, and he has overcome for you. In the depth of despair, when we want to cry out that to someone who will understand and someone who can help, Jesus is your Savior, your God in the flesh. Because God became man, we do not have a God who is aloof from us, but he is intimately connected with our lives. Isaiah writes, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not." Consider your griefs, your pains of body, family discord, facing poverty, or losing your spouse or your child. You know your own experiences of pain. But now consider what this verse says. Your God, your Savior Jesus, is so well acquainted with grief and sorrow that he feels it in his own being, because he is both fully God and fully man. He knows your tears. He knows the anguish of your heart personally. His coming in the flesh means that he is not a God who stands far off from your anguish and simply sends the proverbial sympathy card. No, the way that he sympathizes is by becoming one with you and with the whole human race, so that he can uphold you and he can bring you through every trial and out of this valley of sorrows to himself in heaven and to himself in eternity. Because God became man, he's also able to give us strength, a strength that comes from his body and blood to eat and to drink. Jesus says in John chapter 6, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." We all feel the pangs of death. We see the effects of its approach in those around us and in our own bodies. But Jesus is our God in the flesh, who has made atonement for our sins on the cross. He's entered the grave and he's risen. He has broken the bars of death and opened the tomb. And now he gives us, his Christians, who live under the shadow of death, his flesh to eat and his blood to drink. Through his flesh and blood, our weak mortal flesh and blood is revived, and we have eternal life. In this sacrament, he preserves you through your temptation. He upholds you in your diseases, and he even supports you through death and the way into eternal life and resurrection. So even though human wisdom may not be able to comprehend how this can be, I pray that you believe his word. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only begotten Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. These words proclaim to you salvation, comfort, strength, and eternal hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, even unto life everlasting. Amen.